for your word. Thank you that you have things you want to say to your people. That's the God you are. You have things you want to say to us in the hour that we're living in. You're a good shepherd, and a good shepherd gives the proper food in the proper season for his sheep. And you are a good, good shepherd. And I thank you that you give us the proper food in the proper season for what we need. I also thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are real and that you know how to cause the word to come alive in our hearts. So I yield to you. Thank God you never called me to do this without you. I would make it a wreck. But thank you, Lord, that you have anointed me to teach and declare your word. So I lean on you. I depend on you, Lord. We depend on you to open our eyes and help us see things that we need to be seeing this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw kind of I think it was something Phil Driscoll had put together years ago. It was kind of like a commercial for the Lord, for the Word. And it was a man going to a bookshelf and pulling out a Bible. And he sat down in a chair and opened it up. And, you know, he turns the light on and he sits down. I've told y'all this before, but I'll never forget it. I love this. And he opens up his Bible and he begins to read. And all of a sudden, chariots and horses and all burst forth out of the page of the Bible and start running across. And stuff starts happening. And it said, let the word come alive in your heart. I'm like, yeah, that's it right there. Let it come alive. It was so alive, it jumped up out of the page, right? I love it. I think of that a lot. I do. I think of that a lot. It really grabbed my attention. Because God wants it to become alive for us. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals the word. He's the one who makes it come alive. If it weren't for that, it would just be reading a bunch of words. That's why when I was a kid, it was boring. Mom would say, have you read your Bible? Yes, ma'am. Lying through my teeth. No, I won't read my Bible. It was boring. Now, I had to do some reading because I was part of Bible Memorization Association. So I had to learn Bible scriptures and quote them back, okay? So I had to a little bit. And once I had that, I felt like I was good for the week, okay? You've got that. You've just, you know, quoted 10, 11 scriptures, whatever it was. Starts out, you know, about 4 and then it increases. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Right? Who makes the word alive, reveals it to us, causes us to go, oh, whoa, wait, I see that now. Amen? Last Sunday morning, as I was getting ready, the Lord began to speak to me about something. He made a statement to me. I stopped right there. I had my hand on the countertop in the bathroom. I said, are you wanting me to go there this week? I'm like, are you wanting me to change everything I thought you'd already given me? Is that what you want me to talk about? I was just like, what? He said, not yet, but I want you to go there. And so this week he's begun to talk to me some more about it. You know, we're living in a time where there's so much around us to see, to hear, to get our attention. There's social media, there's television, there's 411 programs on the television, there's everything on the news, there's everything out in the public eye, people, et cetera. It's just a whole lot going on. Unless you just stay in the house in the corner somewhere. There's stuff going on. There's so much going on out there to stir up your emotions, to stir up your feelings, to stir up your anger, to stimulate and stir up your flesh. There's a whole lot. And here's what the Lord began speaking to me. He said, many of my people are more aware of their flesh and the things of the flesh than they are of me. And consequently, it dictates their life. Because of the stirring of the flesh all the time, the flesh dictates their life. They're more aware of the things around them and what's going on in the world than they are of my kingdom and what's going on in my kingdom. What I see, what I want to do, and what I am doing in the earth. They're more aware of natural, carnal, fleshy things. More aware of that than they are of my spirit and spiritual matters. In these days, they need to become more aware of the things of the spirit than they are of the flesh and what they can see and feel. It is needful to become aware of and attuned to the things of the spirit and of my kingdom. A lot of people look at this natural realm and what they can see, like, you know, what's here, right here in front of us, like this is what's real. Like this is the highest form of reality there is. And a lot of people look at it that way. Well, I just live in the real world. Okay? You ever heard things like that? You ever said stuff like that? But what they fail to realize, or maybe they're ignorant of the fact, that it is the spirit realm that actually created this natural realm. Okay? Therefore, the things of the spirit realm are more real than this natural realm, because how can creation say that it's more real than the one who created it? I mean, really, think about that. So therefore, I would say that the spirit realm, the realm of the kingdom of heaven, the realm of the things of the spirit, are the highest form of reality. I'd say they are, not all this out here that I see. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that we don't understand the things of the spirit by this. We don't understand it by our emotions or by our flesh or what we think we can understand with our mind. I don't care how brilliant you are. I told you about my daddy. He was a brilliant man intellectually, but he didn't understand anything in here. And after reading it through three times, he said it was baloney. It's because the things of the Spirit, the things of God, the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned and understood, not naturally. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are made of things which are invisible. It, actually, I just said that so wrong. Don't you love it? Do you ever jump out there and you started telling the Bible what it said? What it says is, they were not made by things which are visible. In other words, they were made by that which is invisible. Okay? You got me? Hey, I don't mind owning it. It's okay. The Passion Translation says it like this. The invisible realm, which is the realm of the Spirit of God, gave birth to all that is seen. It's the invisible realm where God resides. That's what created this visible realm. God is spirit, and his kingdom is in the heavens, and it's very real, very powerful, very much alive. And when you talk about things like that, some people, I've heard some people talk about things of the spirit. I'm going to tell you, they are flat out glow in the dark. They are weird. They are flaky. Like, it's just so spiritual. Oh, stop it. I don't like that. Okay? Just so spiritual. I just love the spiritual things. You're being weird. But the things of the spirit are real. They are real. Okay? I call it glow in the dark. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of people that act that way or come off that way. I just love him because he's so spiritual. And some of them ain't even born again that we're talking about. It's just because they're certain kind of, because they're weird. You got it. Because they're weird. I'm not talking about glow-in-the-dark spiritual, okay? I'm not talking about weird spiritual. I'm talking about God spiritual, the creator of heaven and earth. And there are things that we need to realize because we live in this flesh and the things of this world are pulling our attention to fleshly, carnal things and things after the spirit. And because of that, we find ourselves in a struggle a lot of times. Anybody can say amen on that one? Okay, so I'm going to break it down and then we're going to talk about it a little bit further. You are a spirit. That is the real you, a spirit. Okay? That's the part of you that's going to live forever, whether heaven or hell. Your spirit will live forever. And let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And let's look at this. Y'all, I love the word. Can you tell? I do. I really get excited about the word. That's God talking to us, okay? Well, he don't ever talk to me. He's had a whole lot to say, you know, if we start right here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. In our image. What is God? Spirit. Spirit. Let us make God and make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You are a spirit. That is the real you. Okay? We're created in God's image and likeness. We are created as a spirit being, okay? But then there's this beautiful earth he had already created with all of the beauty that was in it, and he wanted man to come and govern over the earth as heaven would have him to, okay? But to live and function in this earth, he had to live in, I'll call it an earth suit. It sounds goofy, but he had to live in flesh. He had to live in components from the earth so he could function here, okay? And so look at Genesis 2, and the Lord, verse 7, the Lord formed man of the dust. So he forms the flesh suit for him to live in from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Your other translations, and if you look this up, it says, and he gave him a soul. So let's talk about this a minute. You're a three-part, huh? Well, what I just read was New King James. I'm not sure. I didn't write that down, which translation said. I look at a lot. Sorry. I also looked up living being. If you look up living being in your concordance in Strong's, it'll tell you soul. Okay. I went there first. So we are a spirit. That's the real you, made like God, spirit being. You have a soul, and if you look up that word, it's talking about your mind, your will, your emotions, the seat of your decision making. And you live in a body, the flesh suit that was made from dirt, so that it could function in the earth. It says in Genesis 3, from the dust you were made, and to the dust you will return. And scientists did studies on our flesh and the components of our flesh, and found that the flesh, all the stuff, I don't know what the words are scientifically, but the components of your flesh are the same stuff that dirt is made of. So you're dirt. Yeah, I mean, you really are. Your flesh is the same stuff as dirt. So are the animals, so are the trees and the bushes and the flowers and the fish. It's all made from dirt. You see a lot of water with fish is dirt and water. With fish. Dirt and water, yeah. I hope I said that right. So, from the dust you've been made and to the dust you return. Now, until you were born again, your spirit man was spiritually dead, which means separated from God because of what took place in the garden. So we were spiritually separated from God. So you were spiritually dead. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's walk through. Y'all like walking through like this and learning? Okay. I don't want to just come to church and sing a few songs and hear something that pumps me up and makes me feel good. I want to learn something about this God I serve. I do. I want to learn, like, what am I supposed to do? That was the thing I didn't ever learn when I was a kid. I didn't learn how to serve Him, what to do. So when trouble came, I got in it. Amen. I did. I mean, we went, we sung songs, they loved the Lord. No criticism of them. But you just heard a sweet little sermon and you go home. And then you just get into stuff. Yeah. I need to know about this God I'm serving, what He has to say about me and us. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you He made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were dead. In other words, you were separated from God, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In other words, you lived in this world and in the system of the world who is run by the devil. He operates in the spirit of the world, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts or pressures of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Do you see who we used to be? That's who I used to be. And it's absolutely right. I was dead in my trespass and sins. I did according to the world system. I worked and flowed and went in that, and I was led by my flesh. Any of y'all can say, yeah, I did too? Except that when you were born again, you were made alive. In verse 1. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you became a brand new creation, created in Christ for good works. So the sin that separated us from God was destroyed. We were reconciled to Him. And our spirit man was made alive unto God and to do what was right before God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now His life is flowing in us, and our spirit man will live forever with the Lord. Now, when you were born again, you were immediately saved. It wasn't a process. Like, it took a long time before I could get saved. No. As soon as you surrendered your life to the Lord, to His Lordship, you were born again right then. You were immediately saved. And your spirit man was made alive unto God. But now your soul wasn't saved immediately, was it? Didn't you still think like you used to think? I did. I'm just going to say it. I still wanted to get high. I used to like smoking dope. I liked getting high. And I still wanted to. I did. I don't anymore. I have no desire to at all. But I still wanted to do certain things that I used to do because my mind was thinking the same way that it used to think. The soul is in a process of being transformed. Are y'all hearing me? I didn't get high anymore, but I still thought about it. I'm just saying. I still thought about it. I did. There's old patterns, ways of thinking, attitudes, things like that, that need to be transformed to agree with this word in this new life that I'm now living in. Okay? I've got a brand new spirit, brand new creation in Christ Jesus. I need to learn how to live that way and not like I used to according to the dictates of my flesh, like I used to live. So Romans 12:2 says that I should be transformed my soul needs to be transformed by the renewing of my mind to the Word of God. That's what I'm needing. It's the process of being saved. My mind is. It's in a process. Do you know my mind is still renewed? There's still areas. I don't still think every perfect thing, right? There's still ways that I think that aren't always right, according to the Lord. That I need my mind to be transformed and think differently. Amen. That's true. We're still in that process of being transformed. Our soul is. James 1:21 said, "Receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted Word of God, which is able to save your soul." The Passion Translation says, "The Word of life has the power to continually deliver you from who you are." Isn't that wonderful? I needed it. I don't know about y'all. The old way of thinking, my old patterns and ways of thinking, my old ways of emotions and attitudes, etc. The way I make decisions, my outlook on life. Those were things that were old patterns based on who I used to be before I was born again. Amen. So my spirit man is saved immediately. My soul is being saved as it is transformed by the Word of God. But what about my flesh? What are we going to do with that? What do we do with the flesh? Paul said, crucify it with its passions and desires. He didn't say coddle it. He didn't say counsel it. He didn't say baby it. Oh, bless your heart. He said, crucify it. What does crucify mean? He said, kill it. That's what he said. It is amazing how the real me is a spirit, yet my flesh tries to rule me and act like it's the real me. Do y'all hear that? It tries to act like it's the real me and dictate my life. And I'm more aware of my flesh sometimes and its wants and its desires and the fleshly carnal things around me than I am of spiritual things. Are y'all hearing me? You ever felt there, been there? And you hear people say, well, I'm only human. No, you're not. No, you're not only human. You are born again. You are a spirit. You happen to live in a flesh suit, but you are a spirit now. And it's time to feed him on the Word of God so he can grow and your soul can be transformed, and the two of them together start saying, no, flesh, we're not doing that anymore. We're not going to sling a fit over that anymore. We're not going to go get high anymore. We're not going to respond this way anymore, or whatever, whatever. Amen? It's a shame when we allow the body, which is not the real us, to tell us what to do. Really think about it. It is a shame when we, and I'm not saying I've arrived, okay? I'm not saying that at all. I don't suppose any one of us in this room has arrived yet. But we're striving toward it, right? We're striving toward that. Romans 8, let's go there and let's learn something about this. And then y'all are going to go, okay, Joy, enough already. Tired of hearing you, girl. Romans chapter 8, oh, it gives us so much information here that's helpful for us, especially in these matters. Romans 8 verse, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can go home and read it. It's very helpful. For those who, verse 5, chapter 8, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. Isn't that true? When we live according to our flesh, we set our minds, our attention on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded or fleshy-minded is death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God. In other words, the law of the spirit of life in Christ. The things of carnality, they're not subject to that. And they're antagonistic with one another. So then those who are in the flesh don't please God, cannot please God. Skip down here to verse 12. It's not talking about if you're in your flesh suit. It's just talking about if you live in by your flesh. Then it's not pleasing to the Lord. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. You don't owe your flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Because the flesh keeps you in that old cycle of death that you used to live in. Okay? The old cycle of the world and being dictated by my flesh when I was spiritually dead. So if you live according to that, you die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let me read this to you from the Amplified. It's so good. I'll have all kinds of things out on the table, including many translations. And I love to look at the Amplified in certain things. I just love the way it says it. Let me start here. I'm going to start with 5 and go through just like what I read a minute ago. But I'm going to read it from the Amplified. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things that gratify the flesh. Jeez, that's true, isn't it? Isn't it? But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, they set their minds on and seek those things that gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without Holy Spirit, the mind of the flesh is death. Death that comprises, that's just a little extra added italics. That's going to add more. Let me just stop on that part. The mind of the flesh is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable. Then goes on down here in verse 12. So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We're not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life that's ruled by the standards set by the dictates of our flesh. For if you live according to the dictates of your flesh, you will surely die. But if you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the evil deeds prompted by the body, you will really and genuinely live forever. For all those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. What a powerful word. It talks about when we set our mind on the things of the flesh, it talks about pursuing, being about those things. It keeps us in that cycle of death. But in the same way, if you'll pursue the things of God, if you'll pursue the things of the Spirit of the Lord, then and follow after them, then you're in that cycle of life in Christ Jesus. Amen? Galatians says it like this. You know, a lot of times we think backwards. We have a tendency to think from a carnal perspective. Well, if I can just get it together with my flesh, then I can get after the Spirit. Anybody ever felt that way? Really? Don't be embarrassed. You ever felt that way? If I could just get a hold of my flesh, then I could walk in the things of the Spirit. But that's totally backwards from what he says in his word. He said, if you'll walk after the Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the way it says it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, It said, I say, walk and live habitually in the Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, and then you will not gratify the cravings and desires of your flesh. Get after God, and your flesh will start like, dang, I don't get to do nothing no more. You know what I'm saying? You get after the things of the Lord, and it's continually pushing aside the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. It says so that you're not free to do what you desire to do. But if you're guided or led by the Holy Spirit, you're not subject to the law of the flesh and of the things of this world. Are y'all with me? Are y'all okay? It's a whole lot, but it's so real. It's not a matter of quit doing everything in your flesh. It's a matter of go after God with your whole heart and the things of God, and that stuff will start fading away. Your mind's being transformed, your spirit man's growing, and you're giving way to your flesh less and less and less. And that's how you actually begin to live by the Spirit and not your flesh. Amen? Y'all all right with us? With that word? I saw the word us. Are y'all all right with that word? There you go. I was told a long time ago, quit worrying about trying to kill all your weeds. Feed your grass, and it'll choke out the weeds. Feed your grass. That's the same type principle. That's good. You know, we may be living in a time where there's a whole lot of pressure and pull on the flesh. And there is. A lot of pressure and pull on our physical senses. What looks good, what sounds good, what feels good. There's a lot of pressure to appeal to your flesh. But I believe that in the middle of the greatest pressures, right in the middle of the greatest darkness, the most gross sin and wickedness, that God is raising up a company of believers. I believe that with all my heart. You see it in Isaiah. His light will shine on you. In the middle of darkness, there's going to be great light that shines on those who belong to Him. And I believe that living in the darkest hour, there is a company of believers arising who will lay hold of the truth, who will hold on to it tightly, who will pursue Him with all their heart, who will desire everything that He bought, desire to walk in everything He bought and paid for, and live it out in this world before other people to see it. I believe that. I believe that walk in truth, and I believe their testimony or whatever they preach out of their mouth will be truth. So I'm thinking about this. You have the early church who preached years of uncompromised truth. And you have all the way up, hundreds of years later, people preaching the truth of God's Word. I realize there's some who've compromised here and there. I'm just talking about the truth that's being preached for years and years. Think about all the seeds of truth that have been preached through these couple thousand years. Think about that a minute. Of all the seeds of that, I believe that we are about to see those seeds come up into something very powerful in the church. I believe you're going to see the greatest apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors in this day and hour who will preach an uncompromised message. They will not back down off what God's Word says. I had somebody complain against me one time, said, there's just no give with you. You won't give. I said, if God says it, who am I to say anything different? I can't give way. I can't. I don't have my own opinion. Amen. Preachers who will not. And you're going to see, if you stop and you think about that, when you have the apostle, the prophet, the fivefold ministry pouring the truth into the body of Christ, what does that raise up? A mature body, Ephesians 4, read it, a matured body that's growing up in proper proportion to the head, which is Jesus Christ. You're going to see a body of powerful believers. You're going to see believers who are really living in the redemption that he bought and paid for. Like fully redeemed men and women of God. Come on. We're going to be able to see that. We're going to see the greatest Christians who ever walked on this earth. I believe that. You look at what he says about the last days. And those of you, and it's, you're going to be them, who will stand in the midst of some of the junk that's coming, you will be standing as some of the greatest Christians and believers ever. They dealt with a lot of junk in the New Testament church, the early church. There'll be a lot to deal with in the at the end as well. But we're going to stand firm and strong. Because I believe the seed of the uncompromised Word of God has been sown through the years. And we are going to grow up as the result of that. I believe that. I want to be a manifestation of what Jesus paid for. How about y'all? I do. I want to be a manifestation of what he gave his life for. I want to walk in power and healing and authority and miracles. I want to walk in godly character. I want to walk in love and truth. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord, not the fear of man, but the fear of God. I want to walk in a lifestyle that is fully devoted to God. And I believe he is raising up a company of believers who will be just that. And I want to be part of it. How many of y'all do? I want to be part of it. I want to be that. I want to be all that and more. Everything that Jesus gave his life for me to be. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. He said to me here a while back, he gave me some things, and there may be some more. I don't know. He's been stirring my heart about a few other things. So I can't say for sure if I'm done or not. I don't know. It may just be through till he comes back one day. For the day and hour we live in, which he calls the end of the age, for this day and hour, he said it was going to be imperative that we had a foundation of truth under us and truth from his word. It's going to be imperative that we know how to recognize and follow after the leading of the Holy Spirit. He said it would be imperative that we become aware of the gifts of the Spirit and learn how to flow and partner with him in seeing them manifest in the earth. And he said it was imperative that we become aware, conscious of spiritual things and quit looking at everything going on around us. It is not so much what you see as what did God say. It's not so much what are you seeing with your eyes as what is God doing. And we really need to become aware of that. With so much going on with news and so forth, it's hard. It's hard. I can be in the kitchen washing dishes and not listening to it. And if he's got it on, I'm hearing it. And I'm in there about to come unglued. And he'll tell you right now, she cannot afford to listen to that stuff. She can't handle it. I just need to be aware of what God's saying and what he's doing and just go with that and not look at everything else that's going on. I get angry. My flesh gets stirred up. I'm just being honest. I've been honest with you from day one about it. So I need to be paying attention to what I just preached, right? I need to be paying attention to the Lord and what he's doing in this hour. Because you know what? I don't care what it's looking like out there. Do not think for 1 minute that God's not on the move. You need to know, no matter what's going on, God is on the move. He's doing things behind the scene that we can't even fathom, that we are freaking out about, and he's going, whoa, 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 whoa. I got that right there. I did that on purpose. I allowed that to play out to expose that over there. You see what I mean? So I need to shut up, chill out, and listen to the Lord and attend to the things of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, you have great plans for your people. And I do believe that we are a company. We are part of that company that you are raising up in this hour, who are sold out for you. We are attuned to the things that you are doing. We are putting our flesh under as we are going after you and the things of the Spirit. I believe we are a people who will see you move powerfully, even through us, with signs and wonders and miracles. I believe that, Lord, with all my heart. We have seen it in parts and pieces before, but I believe we are going to see it in greater, greater measure. And so, Lord, I ask you to do what you want to do in us to prepare us and have us ready. We ask you to forgive us for always being after our flesh, or even in areas of our flesh that we attend to it and fail to look to you and the things of the Spirit. Lord, forgive us for that. Forgive us for looking around at everything we see and that looking more real than what you are doing, because you are surely more real than what we are seeing going on. And give us eyes. Give us eyes to see. Enlighten us. Help us. Open our eyes to see what you're seeing and see what you're doing. Just like you told the prophet whose servant who was there, and he saw that great army coming. And it was just him and Elijah. And you said, Lord, open his eyes to see. And he looked, and over the horizon was an army of angels on chariots, ready to come and war against those that were about to take them out. Open our eyes just like that, Lord, to see what you're doing in this day and hour. And we will give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about, and I shared this morning before we prayed, about how the gifts of the Spirit were so strong and prevalent in the early church. And it awakened them to the reality of God. It awakened them. It arrested their attention. And here we are towards the end of this thing. It's time for people to be awakened again. It is. It's time for people's hearts to be awakened again to the reality of who he is and his desire to move powerfully, miraculously, to heal. We have people right now that need miracles in their lives. They need miracles. They need healing in their bodies. They need miracles in their lives. And we need to be really praying for them. And that when we see them, that God would use us in a powerful way to pray for them and see God move in their behalf. Amen. All right, this afternoon.